I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, there will be no guttural yell this morning. How about one nice guttural fart? Because that's how you need to start off a show after you get swept by the Seattle Mariners. But happy Monday, everybody. Great to be back with you. Despite what you may think, we are excited to be here this morning and fired up to talk about the real lackluster three-game set this weekend out at Petco Park. And we will. We absolutely will. We've got 4 hours to explore that space and really dive in on it and talk about everything else that went on in the world of sports and baseball and life, because that's why you tune into Ben and Woods. Hopefully have some laughs for you this morning. That being said, I'm Woodsy. Paul Reindel is the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Good to see you again. Got to see Paulie yesterday at the another Tier 1 massacre. We can talk about that in a second. Super great. Super fun. Really enjoying it. Just a lot of losing this weekend. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Now, you shot an 81 this weekend. That's not bad.
Not bad, yeah.
It's not losing by any stretch.
No, it actually hit the ball pretty well. But otherwise, fairly quiet weekend. I've kind of had to concentrate on how I'm going to turd polish this morning.
Did you bring the cream?
Sometimes it's more challenging than others. I got the chamois, I got the cream, I got the wax.
You're going to buff. This is one where you need like the industrial buffer.
Oh, yeah, the one that spins back and forth. This is going to be a little bit tougher than usual this morning.
Yeah, I had to buff the floors one time with one of those real.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was in jail, but
Like fun for the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I did do it when I was in jail one time. We don't have to talk about
it. You got assigned floor duty, huh?
But I did, and I got to use the best part about it was that I got to use that buffer thing. And it really is, it's not easy. I mean, you see them working that thing in the movies, and you're like, oh, it looks, and it's
good. Did you get to put the yellow safety signs up?
Yeah.
Like it's wet floor.
It was kind of fun. Huh. But it also, the thing has got a mind of its own.
Really?
It's not as easy to control as you might think.
No power steering on the thing.
Like moving it around. So, yeah, not my finest moment. But, hey, listen, man, look at me now. Look at me now sitting here with Ben and Paul and all the tier ones out there. And, yeah, you got some doomers in the chat. That's to be expected. I was pretty fired up yesterday when I got home. And, again, I was emotional. And I tweeted, man, the fans deserved better at Petco Park this weekend. And I do. I stand by that. That's pretty spicy for me lately. I've been fairly positive about the team because, well, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, they're 10 or 9 games above 500 right now. They have had a good start to the season, certainly. There are massive issues with this team that we can look at, certainly. But, you know, I was a little spicy, Ben, because I'm coming off again. Fifth loss in a row for our beloved Tier 1 baseball team. And another weird game where you make out the lineup, you're in contact with the guys, and you're like, you're close, right? Because you're my three-hole hitter. Yeah, I'll be there. And then three-hole hitter walks up in the middle of the two-hole hitter's AB, doesn't have time to put his cleats on, hits in Vans, in full uniform in Vans, for the first AB, Center fielder, who's the four-hole hitter.
That'd be like a Manny Machado strolling in about 6:43 for a 6:40 start.
Yeah. And he's like, bro, you're up. And then the four-hole hitter got there like 3 minutes before the game. The six-hole hitter did not show up until it was almost time for him. So, again, we lose that game 8-3. And we've lost five straight, and I'm flummoxed by it. And I'm not mad. You know, I love the guys. I put it in the group chat last night. I said, I love you guys. We'll figure it out. I do. I love them. Everybody battles and competes, but I'm just not used to losing, you know? So you had a lot of L's this weekend, certainly, but there were some dubs in there too. We had a really nice family weekend. Family got along quite well this weekend. It was, I don't want to say refreshing, but at the end of the day, it was kind of refreshing. I was kind of panicked because Taylor's T-ball season's come to an end. Bo has one more game. It's this week. But one of the dads at school put together a little sandlot game, and it was kind of cool. Like, we had a bunch of kids that don't play together came out, and we did a sandlot game. And I'll tell you something, man, and you guys out there listening can probably relate to this. My 7-year-old is a very, you guys know Bo, he's a very competitive kid, and he really hates to lose also. And he's a kind of a take charge guy, and it comes off the wrong way sometimes to me and his mom and with his friends, I think. And as he navigates friendships in life, you know, like, I know when to push, I know when to pull back. I know when to ride somebody. I know when to pull back.
He's kind of the bossy friend.
Yeah.
Everyone has one.
Correct.
Yeah.
You've got one. It's me. I get it. It's no big deal. But there's something, you know, with age, you learn when to pull back, right? You know, like, hey, man, there's probably a time to say, hey, we need to get our S together. And then there's a time to just say, just let it flow and good things will happen. And he's learning that, right? Well, I realized that it was like being struck by lightning. So we go out to we show up for the sandlot game. I bring a couple of the neighborhood kids with me. There's about 10 kids. And we get out to the field, and the other dads are awesome, and I know them from school. But I coach two teams. I run a play on a team. Baseball's my life. And I get out there, and I start just running a practice. I just line them all up. I'm hitting them grounders. Let's roll two.
They're like, I thought we were going to play baseball.
Right. And
practice.
Then I go, yeah, I just want to get you guys warmed up. And then let's pick our teams and we'll play some sandlot ball. And guess who's pitching? Guess who's taking charge? And I go, oh, I'm him. He's me. And I just go, I went home to Hannah. I go, it's my fault. It's my fault. If that is in fact a fault, I go, it's my fault. I showed up and the other dads, they weren't like, I just kind of took the bull by the horns, you know what I mean, and said, let's make this fun and organized. I'll just run it. I'll just do it. It's fine. I'll just do it. And so I did it, and they had a great time, and the other dads were awesome. But I thought to myself, idiot, you can't yell at him for this. He's just a little version of you. You know what I mean?
So is it possible that psychologically the chaos stresses you, and when you feel like you take charge – and there's organization, then in your mind, you feel a lot more at peace with the situation. But if you don't, and it starts getting a little chaotic, then you start feeling stressed internally.
There's no question. There's absolutely no question. And again, the whole, like, just let's, it's loose, just let them play, have fun. Great, absolutely. But also, I do feel like they're 7, they're 8 years old. They do need a little bit of structure in a sandlot game. Like, I'll just throw BP, you guys make the plays, and that's what I did. Called outs and had fun with it, certainly. And the other dads were playing the field. It was fun. Like, it was really a fun day. But it strikes you, man. It hits you like a bolt of lightning when you're like, what am I up this kid's rear end for about this behavior when it's very clear where he gets it from? You know, the good, the bad, all of it. Like, I do that, so of course he's going to do that. Of course he's going to translate that when he goes out to play with his friends. He's going to take charge.
It's interesting because in life you need some leaders. You need some followers.
Yeah.
Not everybody can lead at the same time or you'll have chaos.
Yeah.
Not everyone can just be followers and there's no leaders because then you'll have chaos. But the real trick is, can you be who fills whatever hole is necessary?
Correct.
If there's no leaders, hey, all right, I'll jump in and organize that. If there's a couple people who are stepping up, I'm fine to take orders and just be a part of the team. going forward and be okay with it either way.
Yeah, no question. And we had this kind of our plans this weekend certainly changed. I think Paulie's did as well. Paulie was planning on going to the game Friday night against the Mariners. And we were planning on going to the SDFC game on Saturday night. And we had kind of this awkward, like, looking at each other all day going, are we going to – did you get the tickets? Has anybody texted you? Because there's supposed to be 18
of us. We're still
doing this? Has anybody, like, reached out? Dan was like, no, I don't think anybody's into it. And we're looking at each other with the, like, should we bang it or just want to bang it? She's like, I don't know if you want to bang it. We can bang it.
You guys had a whole small section.
Yeah, there would have been 18 of us.
Oof.
And no, none of the other parents like texted, be like, hey, are we still doing this? So we're like, we kind of took that as a sign.
Everybody just assumed everybody else forgot.
And we did not, we ended up looking at kind of one other couple and saying, you guys want to just bang this thing tonight? So we did. And you know what? Frankly, like, I want to get to a game. I want to take my kids to a game. I want to go with my family. I want to go at night. Just wasn't ready. It was rainy. It was cold. Bro, and then you see the score. 0-0. I'm like, all right.
Whoa.
Sometimes.
0-0.
Oh, sorry. 0-0.
0's okay. It's just not nothing.
Right. 0-0.
0-0 or 0-0.
You see the 0-0 score and you go, all right, maybe I'm a genius. Maybe I'm a genius for bailing on this game. But so we didn't go. And you know, my kids didn't care. They were dead asleep by 7:30.
If you're a true soccer aficionado, a football fan, as it were.
Oh, you love a 0-0 tie.
Yeah, you can appreciate the well-played, scoreless draw.
Of course.
For what it is. You know, good opportunities, some good saves, you know, that kept it going. The crossbar came into play, the post a couple of times. And, I mean, you can, but I kind of agree with you. If I go to a game, I want to see someone score.
I want to see some action out there. Paulie, though, you guys decided to pull the plug Friday.
Same idea on Friday night with the Padres game. Megan was getting a headache coming on at like 3 o'clock. Wasn't feeling it a ton. I could kind of read. And I was like, I don't think she really wants to go. Check the weather. Saw the rain in the forecast. I go,
that rain changes everything.
And then watch the game. It's like, I don't know, fourth inning. It is dumping rain down in San Diego. And saw the score, and I go, yeah, we made the right choice.
Yeah.
I am happy with our decision this week.
It was like chilly Saturday and like windy and
like
rainy.
Third through the seventh inning was pretty steady coming down during the game on Saturday night. Not your typical beautiful Petco Park evening.
Yeah, you know, and Diesel just said, I was at the game Saturday, SDFC. It's pretty miserable with the rain, but it was fun. Wouldn't have brought my kids, though, so good call, Woodsy. Yeah, the 7:30 start remains kind of a bugaboo for the Woods family, as those dudes are typically down 7:30, 8 o'clock on the weekend, 7:30 during the week, and it's just like, man, do we want Demon? And I was playing ball on Sunday, so if we kept them up all night, guess who's got to put up with them by themselves is Hannah, and she's like, oh, man, that would kill me. But, yeah, San Diego really... Rain here just ruins plans. You look at it, even the threat of rain, and you're like, I'm out. I want nothing.
Well, there's multiple reasons for that. First of all, facilities. They're not generally designed for easy, like, covered walkways and stuff you get at a place where it's often rainy. A lot of indoor spaces where you can go. You just don't have that because there's no need for it in San Diego most of the time. So we're ill-equipped. Plus... Let's face it. We're not rain people.
We're soft.
We don't have umbrellas in our cars. We don't have rain jackets hanging on the post by the door, ready to grab at any moment.
Next to our rubbers by the door.
We just don't think about it. We don't even have mud rooms where we would put such things when you walk in, because we're not rain people. So when it happens, we're usually caught somewhat unprepared and unready for it. And you always think, next time I'm going to be ready. But then it goes 8 months and it doesn't rain again, and you stop thinking about it and worrying about it. And then you'll once again get caught somewhat unprepared the next time it rains.
And everyone always, oh, bro, don't worry. You're not going to melt in the rain. I'm like, I think I might. I actually think I might. And the thought of going down there in the cold, windy rain with, 12 kids and six adults or whatever, I was like, bro, another time. I am the master of, we'll just do it later. It's fine. We just do it another time. So that's what we decided to do. But other than that, man, yeah, it was not the greatest sports weekend, you know, here in San Diego. And that's something that's been said many a Monday here.
You did tell me something before the show that I was highly impressed with. And I want to ask you about it after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
So you told me that you have mastered, I think, a very important life skill. The cast iron skillet.
Oh, yes. I was like, what did I tell him? Yeah, I did.
Steak.
I did. I finally figured it out.
You're good.
Been trying for 100 years, man, to get that. Paulie, we've talked many times on this show about you go in. We all love a good steakhouse. We all love a good steak. You go and pay through the nose at Bob's or Ruth's Chris or Cowboy Star or wherever it may be, and it's good. I mean, it knocks your socks off every time you go. And then you try to make one at home, whether it be on the grill, and you realize the grill's really not where it's at.
I just stopped.
So
I
stopped entirely. So I've put my nose down and kept grinding.
Steaks for me became celebratory events.
Yeah, out.
Birthdays, anniversary, whatever. We're going to go out and pay because I've had really good steaks in town.
And you're like, I can't do it.
I could name 10 different steakhouses, and it's like, oh yeah, that was the best steak I've ever had in my life. You can't replicate that.
No.
Not even going to try. So I just gave up.
I thought that until I started to replicate it.
And the worst thing is when you take the time to go, you go to a real butcher, get the prime or the Wagyu or whatever. You spend big on the meat because you feel like, well, that's the difference. They're using better meat. And then you cook it at home and it's tough and it's chewy and it's not good. And then you feel like, I just wasted a ton of money on a great steak that I have turned into a hockey puck.
That I absolutely could have just gone out and spent that money been waited on. They cook it for you, right? The allure of the restaurant. But I finally got it down, man. And this is like 4 in a row. So I feel like now you get four in you. Now I'm like, now I'm confident, because the panic that sets in when you go and you're like, all right, I'm going to do this. And you get the, you spend the money, you get that meat home. And right before you start to cook it, you're like, okay, we can do it. I can do this. And then it never works out. But the last four times, yeah, the oven finished cast iron steak. And I've mastered it. I have mastered it.
Give us some pointers for everybody
so
out there.
So the number one thing that I think I resisted, and I read it 100 times. The number one thing is when you buy your good meat, you got to let it sit out for an hour. You have to. It's got to be, it's not, you don't want it room temperature, but you need it to sit for an hour. You can't do it cold. And that's what I always ran into, because I would be impatient. And I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and wait for this thing. So I told Hannah, I texted her as soon as our game was over. I go, take those steaks out, put them on a plate, cover them with a paper towel. Came home, showered, got a bunch of stuff ready. And when it was time to cook them, I did. So I heated up the cast iron skillet, hot, let it sit there for a while, preheated the oven to 400. And olive oil, threw those bad boys in, set the timer. I did salt and pepper and this real special seasoning I got in Denver from John Elway's restaurant. It's Elway's seasoning. It's unbelievable. So seasoned them up, 2 minutes on one side, 2 minutes on the next, from there right into the oven for 7 minutes. Took it out. Here's the other thing. Let it stand.
Oh, yeah.
You got to rest the meat for about 10 minutes. And then it looks good. You're like, and then I got that first cut into it and I went straight to the heavens. I was like, I did it. I did it again. I cut it up for the family. Everyone was so happy. Bo went seconds, thirds. I was eating the fat off this thing, bro. I was like, dang, this is the best steak I've ever. It was like the old 96er in the great outdoors. I mean, I could have eaten four of them. And a little butter in there. But I didn't, you know, didn't go crazy. It was outstanding. And I do feel like now I can do this. Not that I won't go out to a nice, expensive steakhouse every now and then, because they do it better. But this was so passable for home. I mean, so beyond passable. It was so good. So good.
It's a good, impressive skill. If you've got that in your tool bag to make a really good steak for a meat eater to enjoy.
Yeah, I feel like if I was single, that would be my go-to meal, you know, to like impress like a potential.
You'd only meet
Hannah was not impressed.
Then.
Hannah was impressed. But, you know, like if I was single, like when I was single, I couldn't do it. Hope you like spaghetti, because I can make that with like turkey meat sauce. But now I feel like
it's not as romantic.
I feel like if I was single, I'd be like, oh, do you like steak? Oh, don't worry, I'm going to cook one up for you. And I think I could do it. But it was fantastic. Fantastic. So it's nice. So I want you, will you try it for me soon?
I'll try it again.
Try it again.
Yeah.
I'll walk you. You know,
we've got a cast iron.
Do you know how many things you've walked me through, Paulie, over the years?
Hundreds. A lot. Quite a few.
You call me, I'll sit on the phone with you the whole time. I'll stay with you the whole time.
I'll just set up my phone, get you on FaceTime.
Damn, my wife's in the chat, heard my single bit. I said, if I was single, that would be my go-to meal.
We do a lot of hypotheticals
on
this show.
Yeah, it's just a hypothetical, babe. That's it. You're my only one. That's
all right,
it.
You guys ready to set the menu briefly for a Monday edition of Ben and Woods? Yeah, we got a...
I don't want to.
We got a crap up coming up. We will talk about the Padres' struggles over the weekend. Offensively, primarily, against the Seattle Mariners, but we'll dive deep into what happened this weekend. Have some soccer to talk about. A scoreless draw on Saturday night at Snapdragon Stadium. A Wave did win on Friday night, so it wasn't a complete wash of a weekend in San Diego sports. PGA Championship, basketball, lots of sports to get into today. We also have all of our regular features like Don't Do This, Take on Woods, opportunity to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas in our musical trivia competition coming up at 8:20. Paulie's got some headlines in the Rindle Report. And our Monday guest, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Our Lynn Sider will join us at 8:35 this morning. Get his takes on, the Padres' worst weekend of the season. And I know they got swept by the Tampa Bay Rays. That was not a great series either. But this one felt... This one felt a little tough. I don't know if part of it was the Vetter Cup and, you know, hyping it up and making it into something that it really...
I promise you that's not what it was.
No, not... I know that didn't cause them to play worse. But did it make this series feel a little worse after they hyped it up for so long and then you just laid a complete egg during the series as a fan?
Not for me personally.
Not for me personally. I never want to hear Pearl Jam again. I mean, but that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. Like, I'm pissed about it. You know, you took a bit that was a Twitter bit and you made it official, and that's what happens. When you make things official, it goes to pot.
Well, I know the Mariners also made it official, and it's gone quite well.
Went well for them.
It's on the other side of the coin.
Yeah, it's a good point you made.
It just still watching it play out all weekend. It felt very forced.
Well, yeah,
you can't call it rivalry weekend when it's the Mariners and Padres. They're not rivals.
Perhaps Eddie Vedder.
If the Padres and the Dodgers got together for some charitable aspect to a rivalry, I think I'd be all for that. I think it'd be great. But it just feels weird.
Is this a sign that Eddie Vedder truly is more of a Seattle icon than a San Diego
icon? No, he's a Cubs fan. He's neither.
He is a Seattle icon.
He's a Seattle icon. He's a San Diego native, and he's a Cubs fan. And they didn't add up to anything good for your San Diego Padres this weekend. So,
do you think Eddie Vedder even knew the Padres and Mariners played each
other?
He did.
He endorsed it. Yeah, he's behind it.
There was a picture of him with the jerseys that he took while he was on tour, and he raised some money for his charity, an unpronounceable disease. Good for Bob Scanlon for learning how to pronounce the unpronounceable skin disease that they raised money to fight. I still haven't done so.
Is it EG or something?
EP. I think. Yeah. So anyway, it's not over. Padres could still come back and win the Vedder Cup. It just would take 3 wins and a lot of math later in the season. So it's not completely over yet. They have not clinched the Vedder Cup. We will talk about yesterday's game, get into the highlights, our Padres crap up. Coming up next, we are underway. Warm up, done. Foreplay over. Let's get going with Bennett Woods on a Monday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
So here's the math required to still win the Vedder Cup. Padres would have to sweep the Mariners to force a 3-3 season series split when they go back to Seattle in August, I believe. They'd also need to outscore the Mariners by at least 13 runs in that series, as they lost this series run differential by 12, 15-3. Or if they sweep them and win by 12 runs exactly, they'd also need to hit a ball harder than Rowdy Tellez's 111.7-mile-an-hour exit velocity, because the Mariners have that tiebreaker as well with the hardest-hit ball so far of the Vetter Cup. So those are the only avenues remaining for the San Diego Padres to still claim the inaugural Vetter Cup later this year.
I don't want to be a doomer so early on a Monday, but I'm going to go ahead and concede the Vetter Cup to the Seattle Mariners. Congratulations on a nice inaugural bit, and you guys have won it. I'm not going to break my back trying to outscore them, and I, you know, listen, just try to win a couple games against that team at this point. They've been tough on the Padres, man.
They go in and win the first one 10-0 on you know, the first game of the series. It changes everything. All of a sudden, the pressure's back on the Mariners to get it done.
That's true.
But I think the most important part of the weekend, of course, was the Padres' inability to hit with runners in scoring position. And when I say inability, it's not like, oh, they went 2-for-11 or 2-for-17. No, they went 0-for-21. With runners in scoring position. You don't really need to go far beyond there to diagnose what happened this weekend to the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, correct. And you know, I know that all of the players, I had my 16 minutes of sulk, but I'm still kind of sulky about it. It was a very lackluster performance by the fellas this weekend. Again, with opportunities, certainly, to break through. Manny had probably his worst series of the season so far. Didn't get a hit the entire series. Look, no one expected him to keep up the torrid pace he was on, but like I was tweeting with a buddy yesterday, you can't just fall off a cliff. You know what I mean? Like, again, I don't subscribe to the these guys don't care, they're not trying. I don't. We know enough about this team and how they're constructed and who they are. We know that that's not the case. They're trying. They just weren't very good at all. And, you know, the constant hat tipping to the Seattle Mariners pitching. All right, fine. I get it. It is baseball. It is a long season. All of these things are true. That was a really poor performance this weekend. There's no way to sugarcoat it. It was very, 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 very poor. They hit a bunch of home runs. We didn't. We do not hit home runs. And I think that's an issue with this team.
Jackson Merrill also kind of fell off a cliff,
yep,
you know, this weekend in terms of performance. Now, there are reports, and you know, you didn't hear the players really talking about it because they don't like to make excuses, that Jackson, Nick Pivetta, and several other players have been hit by a massive stomach bug / virus that is running through that clubhouse. Now,
running being the operative word,
now,
I think.
Does it look like the team is playing like they're under the weather? Kind of. Yeah,
kind of.
And I don't want to just say, oh, well, you know, it's an easy excuse. Every team has to play through some, you know, bad feelings over the course of a season. And
well, it was so bad for Pivetta that he skipped, what was the deal? He didn't fly with the team home. There was something I read that basically said he missed 2 days of preparation. That's how bad it was for them. So, yeah, man, like an airborne food virus is what I saw. So I don't know what they were eating, but it got a few of them, and they were not playing at 100%. But again, no team is playing at 100% right now. It was pretty rough, man.
Now, are we ready with the traffic, Paulie?
Yes.
So we'll get to traffic, and then we'll go through the highlights and
lowlights
of yesterday's game, and start with Sunday. We'll work our way backwards this weekend, but that's all coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem.
Oh, a shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
crap up.
Presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
Here's the 0-2, and Tatis swings, hits it in the air, deep to left field. Rosarena back to watch this one. Gonna go! Leadoff homer, Fernando Tatis Jr. second straight at bat against Brian Wu that he takes him out, and this one gives the Padres a 1-0 lead. 1-1 pitch is launched to left field. Sheets is back. He'll watch, and it's going to go. Home run, Randy Arozarena, his sixth of the year. No doubter out to left field here in the top of the fourth inning. And the Mariners have hit yet another home run. This one ties it up 1-1, their first hit of the day. Ready to go after the mound visit. Tavares batting left-handed. First and third, two down, tie game. First pitch swinging and a line drive deep to right field. That's going to be trouble. It'll bounce and hit the wall of the Petco porch and then skip over the wall for a rule book double, which will at least for the moment save a run. Tellez comes in to score to give the Mariners a 2-1 lead, but Garver, who is going to score easily, has to stop at third base. This one is hit off the glove of King. It'll roll out to second base. Cronenworth will not even try the glove flip as another run comes in to score. Garver crosses the plate on the second infield hit of the inning. Mariners have now scored three times here in the fourth, and they lead it 3-1. 3-2, the pitch to Garver is hit on the ground. That's a fair ball up the third baseline, going to clank off the side wall. Arozarena comes in to score. Garver will be content with a single as Sheets sends it in. And an RBI base hit for Mitch Garver, his second knock of the day, and the Mariner lead is 4-1. Bases loaded, nobody out, the 1-1 pitch. Raleigh swings, hits it in the air to right field. Fernando in and over towards the line, reaches down to make the catch. Moore will tag and score. So a sack fly for Cal Raleigh, and the Mariner lead is now 5-1. Fajardo throwing as this one is sent in the air to shallow left. Long run. It'll dump down in front of Sheets and Merrill. So Rivas able to trot home once that ball hit the grass. A bloop single for Rodriguez to bring home another, and it's 6-1. Second and third outs. The 0-1 pitch popped up on the infield. This will do it as Crawford comes over to the right side to make the catch and end the ball game.
Two good teams just went at each other. They threw the ball exceptionally well. They pitch well. Historically, they pitch well. They're doing it, I don't know, about the entire season. Obviously, we prepped before it, and we saw it firsthand. The starting pitching was really good. Wu was really good today. All three of their starters were really good.
Yeah, I mean, when Fernando hit the leadoff home run, and then Michael King looked really, really good for the first 3 2/3 innings.
Yeah, 12 batters or so.
He looked like they might win this one 1-0. I mean, Michael King might throw a complete game shutout. And then, I mean, in just a matter of seconds, Randy Arozarena hit the home run, had an infield bleeder, a double, an infield single, and a double, and it was 3-1. And then you felt like, oh, I don't know if the Padres have it in them to come back in this game based on what we had seen all weekend long.
That's the tough part, man, is that when this team skids, Benny, they skid. I mean, it's a skid. You're not going to – this team is probably not going to have a lot of those – 12-10 slugfests, right? Because we're a, you know, what has led to success for the San Diego Padres early in the season has been pass the baton. You know, next man up, next man up, next man up. We're desperate for the three-run homer now. And I don't know if they're expanding their zone to try to hit the three-run homer, if that lack of slug is starting to creep its way into their psyches or into the clubhouse. I doubt very much Victor Rodriguez has pulled the brake and said, no, let's start trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark now. No, I think they're going to continue to stick to their plan. And it's hard, man, because when a plan has been successful for you, it's hard to just throw the e-brake on and say, no, let's switch everything now. I think you have seen some guys trying to do too much. I think Jackson Merrill's a great example of somebody that's trying to do too much. You know, great example. He wants to win at all costs, and I love that about Jackson. And I'll take the lumps with Jackson. I'll ride with him. I'll ride with Manny. I'll ride with Toddy. Whatever they want to do is fine by me. That's the way it is. But I think he's a good example of somebody that's trying to do too much. He's swinging at pitches out of the zone, up around his eyes, trying to hit the, you know, 2-3-run homer. And I understand it, man. I understand it completely. But if this team gets back to its identity, yeah, they can win ball games. But you are going to need help. You need help. That's very evident. You need offensive help.
You can't, as you said, just tip your cap to the pitcher every single game when you lose. I thought Brian Wu was really good. I mean, there's really little you can do other than try to be aggressive. He's going to throw strikes. I mean, in an insane amount of strikes. Yeah. The guy is just constantly up 0-1, 0-2, 1-2. I mean, he's got you in pitcher's counts the entire game. So your options are, well, let me see if I can try to swing at the first one. And then when you do and you hit a line out to the left fielder or the right fielder, you've just given him you know, he had what, a 7-pitch inning, a 9-pitch inning. And now you've given him the opportunity to go deep into the game against you as well. Or you can try to wait him out. He's not going to throw enough balls. Then you're just down 0-2, and he can get you to try to nibble, you know, bury a slider or something, or just keep working on those corners. So he's a very difficult pitcher for hitters, I think, to have success against. And, you know, the Padres were unable to really get anything going. Had a couple of opportunities, didn't get any hits with runners in scoring position when they did get guys on base, which was the story the entire series for the San Diego Padres. And our colleague Chris Zello had this stat that he posted on X after the game. Runners in scoring position, baseball's most important stat. After going 0-for-21 while getting swept this weekend, the Padres are now hitting 329 with runners in scoring position in their 27 wins and 129 with runners in scoring position in their 18 losses.
Could that all be connected, you think?
It's not rocket science. Yeah, you get runners on, you get them in scoring position, and you don't get them in,
Now, that's a self-fulfilling stat. When you hit well with runners in scoring position, you score a lot of runs, which means you probably win, and vice versa. But
well, I think the way you look at this series, though, is Seattle wasn't great with runners in scoring position either.
They were just a little bit better.
But they hit the ball out of the ballpark 6 times. You know, they hit the ballpark out.
If you look at the numbers, it wasn't as lopsided. I think they had the same amount of hits as the Mariners, or maybe one fewer. Mariners struck out quite a bit more than the Padres did in this series. It was the home runs and one or two hits with runners in scoring position. And that was the entire difference in the series. It's not like the Mariners are just so far and away a better team than the San Diego Padres.
No, they're pretty even.
Evenly matched. It just the Padres did not execute and did not come through at all needed to in this series. You get, let's say they go 5-for-21.
Oh,
which is, what, a 280? I think they're sixth in baseball with about a 260-70 average with runners in scoring position. They do that, they probably score 7 or 8 more runs. They win one or two of the games. It's a completely different conversation. Yeah. But when you go 0-for-21, you're going to get swept almost every single time.
If you don't hit home runs, then you're not going to win.
Unless you get a couple of homers and luck into a 1-0 or a 2-1 win and get an absolute dominant pitching effort, you're going to get swept when you go 0-for-21 with runners in scoring position. There's just really nothing else to discuss in the series other than that. Now, the question is this a symptom of a problem or simply baseball rearing its head over the course of a weekend? I know fans will say, you can't have a weekend like that from Manny. You can't have a weekend like that from Jackson. Well, if they kept playing like they did for the last month, they'd both end up hitting like 480. Guess what? No one ever hits that over the course of the season. It wasn't going to happen. The reason why guys don't hit 480 is because eventually they're going to have a weekend like that. Everybody does in baseball. It's absolutely inevitable. You're going to go through an 0-for-10, a 1-for-18 at various points during the course of the season. Unfortunately, they kind of collided for the Padres this weekend against the Mariners.
You know, and again, man, I'm reluctant to. I do think it's time. I mean, look, at some point, the definition of insanity is, you know, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Why not mix the lineup up a little bit? And I'm not talking about putting Gavin Sheets out in left field or, you know, getting Jay Hay, putting him in the 9 or moving Lockridge to the 9 and Molden out of the 8. I'm talking about the top of the order for a spark at this point. I mean, Luis Arraez, I love him. I'm his biggest fan. I don't know that he needs to be in the 2. I don't know that he needs to be in the 2.
Did he have a pretty good weekend?
He was okay. He's okay. I mean, Xander had a really...
I feel like every time I saw Luis Arraez at the plate, he got a knock.
Yeah.
And it's the guys, it's Merrill and Manny behind him that didn't... Like, if they drive him in, it's a totally different conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those guys, they're run producers. They
five for 11, yeah, I mean, with a double and a walk. No runs and no runs batted in, though. So, you know, he's not... He had a decent weekend. What he does, his average went up, but he did nothing that helped the Padres actually... Right. Scoring.
He got
no, that's not that's always not his fault.
Someone's that's not his problem.
Someone's got to
imagine
bring
him 5-for-11 in the cleanup spot, right? Little wiry Luis Arraez, who never strikes out, potentially driving in runs.
He also went 0-for with runners in scoring position, just like everybody else did.
Right. Yeah. Somebody said, Steve just said, it's our idiot manager's fault because he has he has our best hitter hitting leadoff. That's pretty standard these days, Steve-O. To have your best hitter hitting leadoff, it really is.
I think it's certainly defensible. He gets up more often than anybody else.
Fernando likes hitting leadoff. He's very comfortable there as well. So I have no problem with him hitting leadoff. In a perfect world, wouldn't we all love to see Luis Arraez leading off with a single? Then Jackson
Merrill hits a double.
Then Tatis hits a two-run homer, and then Manny comes up and hits a homer. Like, obviously, it doesn't work like MLB The Show. I like Tati at the top. He likes being at the top. I think he strikes a lot of fear into the opposing pitcher when you got to. Who would you rather face, Luis Arraez or Fernando Tatis Jr.? I can live with a single. You know, it's tougher to live with Fernando Tatis Jr. being able to go bridge on you every time you're down 1-0. It happened yesterday.
Even if he doesn't, even if you walk him or he hits the single, then he's stealing seconds.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot that can happen. I mean,
it didn't work out for the Padres yesterday, but it certainly seemed to work out well for the Mariners on Friday when J.B. Crawford did the same thing with the first pitch of the game and put the Padres on their heels and behind, and they never came back. Now, the Mariners did because the Padres couldn't add on, and eventually they got to Michael King in the fourth inning. But that one run looked big at the time when Tatis got the home run. So I'm not mad about Fernando hitting leadoff.
No, I'm really not either, man. I just... You know, at this point, you know, Schulte's not a tinkerer. He's just not. He's not going to mix it up. He likes guys where they feel most comfortable. Okay. And you live with weekends like this, I guess. You know, but
KG says Arraez leading off is a winning formula last season, but Tatis leading off has been very much a winning formula this season.
Nine games above
500.
It took them forever to get that, you know, last year.
They're playing at a clip that would get to them, you know, the best record in franchise history, essentially. So, yeah, sometimes you just have to throw out a weekend. And if it continues, yeah, I see what you're saying. There's tinkering you can do.
Flipping Arraez and Merrill alone.
I think it's interesting.
Keeps lefty-lefty.
I just think it's interesting. I just think it is absolutely...
It's worth a shot.
Interesting. Steve says you're expecting the bottom of the lineup to get on base for Tatis. How's that good logic? We don't have enough hitting behind him to hit that 2 or 3-run homer. Yeah, but again, Steve, you want Tati. If you put Tatis in the three... You know, that's fewer ABs. This is a proven formula. And it's why sometimes you see Aaron Judge hitting leadoff. It's why some of the biggest, the best hitter leading off. Kyle Schwarber. It's
Otani.
Trust me, Steve, it wrecks my brain too. It really does sometimes. It wrecks my brain.
It's counterintuitive to everything we were taught for years.
It's having to unlearn this. At the ripe old age of 49 and me going, no, I need speed at the top and contact 2, best hitter 3, best home run hitter 4. I need it. I need it like I need air. And
I mean,
now
this is 1997. Toddy's batting 4th, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Manny's hitting 3rd.
And then, of course, yesterday when Iglesias and Diaz both get singles to lead off an inning, I go,
here we go.
Here it is. They got two on, nobody out, and they got Tatis and the top of the lineup coming out. Here comes the 6-run inning, and Tatis immediately grounds into a double play. That's the kind of weekend it was.
I mean, Mike says Tatis can grab bags and has a good eye. It doesn't work for Schwarber and Otani. It absolutely works for those guys. Both of those guys are having... monster seasons. Monster. Now, Shohei has a lot of solo home runs, too, because the bottom of that lineup until recently has been pretty bad.
Everybody's bottom of their lineup usually pretty bad?
Yeah, I mean...
That part of baseball has always stayed the same.
That's kind of always stayed the same.
There's never been a strategy technique used where you're like, let's put our best player in the 8-hole.
It's just weird. Like, again, I guess there's a part of me that respects that about Shilton. He's like, no. This is the lineup I put out. This is what I trust. Would I like to change it? I think the bigger picture, though, is it's very obvious. We need a bat. It's so obvious. But, again, as I said to our pal Mike yesterday, who do we want? Who's willing to throw in the towel right now in their season? You have maybe the White Sox. You have the Marlins. Who are we willing to part with? Do they see value in that person? It obviously takes two. I saw everyone this week and go get Taylor Ward. The Angels aren't trading Taylor Ward right now. They just swept the Dodgers. They still think that they have a shot. And based on what I saw this weekend, they might. I mean, they played really inspired baseball. And like, why are you going to wave the white flag to Zach Neto and Shanuel and all those guys right now and say, no, we're going to trade Taylor Ward?
The Angels right now. 20-25, but they're just 4.5 games out of a playoff spot.
Correct.
It's hard. I get it that the Angels probably aren't going anywhere, but you got a fan base too there.
Yeah.
What kind of message do you want to send to your fan base when you're 4.5 games out of a playoff spot that goes, we have no faith in our own team, though,
Correct.
So why should you have any? I mean, they want to sell some tickets for the summer. You can't trade someone who's producing it all for you at this point. It's just not going to happen.
I know.
It's exactly right.
The Angels didn't trade Shohei Ohtani. We're expecting them to trade Taylor Ward.
It's a very valid point you make, Paulie. Very valid.
Apparently, the Padres were in on Shohei Ohtani a couple of years ago. That was a Ken Rosenthal report over the weekend.
One that I wish never came out, because the last thing I need to do is revisit any of that mess. It's gone. It's not happening.
We knew he was close. We knew he was all in on him.
Yeah, I don't like hearing it. But I think, you know, again, you have to be semi-logical when it comes to just out of bat, guys. Well, yes, I'm in. Like, who do we have that they want, that they value, that they'll part with? That's the problem.
We all know. Baseball can be a very frustrating sport to follow. Probably the most frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
Soccer gives it a run for its money, though. We can talk sure about does. That as well. Coming up, hour number two of Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.